You can call me Meredith Marks's bathtub because I'm drained.
Oh. And bleached. I may be rough, but diamonds are forever. No.
I'm like a diamond
in the rough. I was trying to be clever.
I might be rough, but one day I'll be a diamond.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'm Tyler.
And I'm Travis.
And this is Privileged Twinks.
It is one of those audio recordings.
Where we
discuss the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. That's in Utah.
Season 4.
Who can you believe?
We're back.
When we were looking for it, I was like, this is season 3. This is the third season.
This is technically the third season we've done.
And I would be okay because that would mean last season didn't happen. And I'd be mostly okay with that. Although I was thinking about last time and we were talking about it and I was like, Salt Lake City delivers. Because I remember at the beginning because I thought it started off really well, but she tanked really hard.
Last season, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think they just kind of didn't have anywhere else to go with it. But I will say, this season, I remember last season we bought the show on Amazon, right? And it was like, I feel like it was only like $18 or something like that. And I was like, this is weird because normally it's in the $30 range. And then the season was cut short.
Yeah.
This season, it was $32. So I'm assuming it's like
gonna more expensive.
No, gonna be more episodes this season again. Mm. Like back to what it was the one before. Whoops. So I think that's a good sign.
Yeah.
We are coming at you live from quarantine. I currently have COVID.
Ew, gross. Don't tell people that.
I just was going to say it because as I'm talking out loud, I feel stuffed up. So I just don't. If I sound a little sick, I am.
Yeah, but don't worry. You don't have to wear a mask to listen to this podcast.
No, because we are inside our little bubble. Okay, well, do you have anything you want to say before we get right into the recap? Anything you're excited for?
Oh, I'm excited for the season. I don't... Oh, wait, my sister's calling me.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, hang on.
You have to wait.
Okay, we are back. It feels like no time for you all, but... I think right before I had asked you, like, what you thought the season... is going to be like, what you're excited for.
I have learned in life that expectations lead to lots of disappointment, so I have none.
That's not true.
I mean, I think so. You don't think expectations lead to disappointment?
Not if
you want to enjoy a movie, don't expect nothing. You will like it much better.
I think that's a bad way of looking at it.
Wow.
Okay, well, do you have any other thoughts before we get into the recap?
I am so pissed Angie K is on this show.
You really are.
I did not like her last season. I do not want to see her again. I don't. But it's fine. Nothing personal, darling. I just don't care for the type of television.
Well, it seems like based on... Okay, so first we have to talk about the little weird little drama that happens in Bermuda right at the beginning.
Bermuda.
What do you think is going to happen?
I said, you know what I said when I wrote down when I said, saw this? I said, it better not be about you-know-who. Mm-hmm. If it's about you-know-who is hidey-holed away up in the jail cell, I don't want to watch it.
I don't think it's going to be about her. I think it's going to be something like, something has come out in the press and it's like negative and blah, blah, blah. And then it turns out like Whitney sold the story or something like that. Like that's the kind of drama I'm imagining.
She said, how could she do this to us, right?
To us, yeah.
So who's us?
Us her could business? Be her and Dre. She might be... Yeah, she might be. She's probably on the phone with her business partner.
Mm.
That's Dre. That's her name, right? Bray.
No, Dre. Dre. There was a Bree, but Dre. There was a B-R-E, but that was a friend of somebody else.
Oh, okay.
Whereas D-R-E
is her business partner. Okay.
I think.
I don't remember. So basically she's like, I'm freaking the fuck out. She pushes the camera out of her room. She's like, seriously, get out.
Was it did it seem a little... Staged. I don't know. The audio was giving a little edited.
Well, she was mic'd.
Push out of the room. Yeah.
That's how they need to run into the room.
Yes. I don't know. I'm, you know.
I did. Are you talking about what people are saying on Twitter?
No.
Oh.
I don't get on X.
I saw someone on Twitter. I'm not going to. I refuse to call it X. just like you refuse to say Jen Shaw, I refuse to say X.
Lord.
Anyway, I saw people were basically being like, Bravo's had so many hot mic moments in the last X years. so many years. Mm-hmm. Like, at this point, I'm beginning to think they're staged. And it was, like, a quote tweeting this intro.
I mean, she knows she has a mic.
Yeah. And that's true. Based on what that cameraman was wearing, I don't think it was staged. I'd have worn something else.
Listen. There are straight cameramen.
I know. What did you think of the whole Bible verse thing they did right after that?
I thought that was really fun.
It's interesting. I mean,
it was a cool way. You know, religion plays a large part in the conversations of the show, and I thought it was a fun way to kind of juxtapose everybody. I like how they, like, paired them up to do the verse.
Yeah, and they all, yeah, they did, like, full-on, like, glam dramatic shots of each of them walking, like, past each other in the city and stuff like that.
Very cool. Very, very cool. I thought it was inventive.
Basically, so the first one was Whitney, and she sang something about, like, it's not my enemy who taints me, instead it's you, my companion. And obviously that's about Heather. But I don't think, and then they show the two of them, whatever.
I wouldn't read too much into the Bible verses.
Well, okay, like, but they're basically trying to pair off twos that are going to fight this season.
Yeah.
And so the first one is Whitney and Heather, mm-hmm. which my theory for the whole thing is that all of this, that's not really going to be a main part this season, because whenever they show drama, whenever they show fighting, I don't think they've actually ever shown the two of them fighting with each other at the same table, except when Whitney's like, Heather, you can shut the fuck up. But I feel like that was like kind of like a small thing. If that turned into something bigger, I think they would have showed it.
Well, you know, they will take small things. They will take a molehill and make a mountain.
That's true. But like last year, the drama was about Whitney and Heather. And you could tell from this season on that like immediately the whole season was going to be them two fighting. But something about this editing makes you think they're not even going to fight that much.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Then we see Angie, and she says, like, put no trust in a neighbor, and that one's based on Meredith. Her and Meredith are gonna go head-to-head.
I think Meredith is just going to go head-to-head with everybody. She's entered her villain era, she's entered her ostracized era.
Well, I think Meredith is the one that starts the rumor that she's money laundering.
Oh.
Remember that little Angie moment K. on the beach?
Yeah.
And then... Or is there something about her husband, too? Because they're like, the kids are going to watch this.
Yeah.
Then Lisa says something about, like, your enemy, the devil, prowls around looking for someone to devour. And that is Kerr versus Monica. Mm. And then we have Heather at the very end. She just says something like, he who breathes out lies will not be able to escape. And then we get a montage of everyone calling each other a liar.
Yeah. Who was it? Who was it that said crawls? Funny. Crowl.
I think it says prowls, but the subtitle said crawls.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure the devil prowls around. It wouldn't be crowls around. But the subtitle did say crawl. I didn't see that.
Okay. I was like, why did she say that? So weird.
Then we get this montage, like I said. Heather's basically like, you're not going to be able to talk your way out of this. And it implies that Whitney says that. Or that she's talking to Whitney. Then Whitney says, like, you're a fucking liar right now. We don't know who that's based toward.
Yeah, the magic of editing.
Lisa says, you're done. Meredith is going off at everyone. And then we get the iconic, like, looks like her jaw is fully broken.
Meredith bot, activate.
You can leave. Oh. She looked absolutely insane.
Yeah, she was pissed. Pissed.
You think she's talking to Angie?
I think she could be talking to Angie. I think she could be talking to just about any of them. I don't think... I don't know. I was going to say Whitney, but then I don't really think that's going to be...
Bitch, I hope beef. That's not a big beef this season based on all the tub stuff. That's so annoying. Meredith's already tweeting pictures of her in the bathtub again. Today. Okay, do you have any notes on that before we jump into the big part?
On what? The opening?
Because it's season 3, and guess who finally took notes?
It's season 4.
Our season 3.
Oh, true. Maybe that's why I thought this was season 3.
That's what I said.
Yeah. Everybody looks good. I feel like Heather's had a little bit of a body transformation to some degree.
Oh, you think so?
She looked very svelte, but I don't know.
She definitely... Well, you know how they, at the beginning, they still have, like, the season one intro, like, looks. Whenever they, like, show, this is Heather, it's the same ones from season one.
Yeah, they don't redo them most of the time.
I know, but we're on season four, I thought they would redo it. But she does look different, very different.
And I remember there was a scene with Whitney in a blue dress, and I was like, I was like, oh, she looks good.
They all look really, really, really good in the promos, too. Like, yeah. The purpley blue that they have going on this year.
So, but that's, that was all.
Okay.
And I said, not excited about Angie Kate.
I think we got that. I guess we're not having her on the pod this year. So then,
I'm
just kidding.
I'm sorry, maybe she could deliver, you know? I'm a little wishy-washy with being definitive on things. I don't want to be like, I don't hate people, and it's not personal. I just don't feel like she's giving.
Well, she had a whole year. I mean, she had 2 years to give.
Two? No, she was a friend of last year. And it was, she came on.
But she was on it the first season. Or the second season. She was on it.
But she wasn't a friend.
No.
She's only a cast member last year, and she was associated with you-know-who, who was sinking. So that wasn't fair.
I thought you were talking about Angie Harrington for a second, but then I realized. Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay, so then we flash back to 4 months earlier, like the show's starting. Lisa's at Sundance. She's doing, like, throwing a party.
The Sundance Queen.
Yeah, she's like, there's a reason they call me the Sundance Queen, because no one can throw a party like I can as quickly as I can. And then she says, 86 these chairs. Which, I don't even think 86 is, I don't think that's even using 86 in the right way.
I don't think we should police that. You know?
I'm just saying, when I was a server, the kitchen would always be like, 86 the fries or whatever, like, we're, like, the ingredients out.
Yeah.
And so then you know serve it.
Yeah. She's just get rid of the chair. I think it works. It's fine for me. I don't think it's that big of a deal. Let her have it.
Okay. Then she gets in the car with John, and she's just like, blah, 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 blah. John is saying no words at all.
John has not activated. He is dead on the inside.
Yeah. And then...
Actually, I think he knows that if he starts talking, she's not going to listen to him.
True. She's in her, like, Sundance mode, I guess. But then she, like, pretty much immediately starts crying because she's thinking about how Jack is in his senior year, and he's basically told them that he's gonna go on a mission instead of go to college, which he's known about for a whole year.
Right.
Without telling them.
And she's feeling some type of way, because mm-hmm. as a parent, why is your child keeping... things from you.
Yeah.
And it's making her question her parenting skills.
Well, I had a question for you about this part. Mm. So, she made a point to say, he said this multiple times, that I'm not like you and Dad. Do you think he's implying that they're, like, bad Mormons? Like, do you think that's what he's talking about? Like, I didn't want to tell you this because you guys drink and you're cuss and you're on the show, whereas I want to be the one, like, doing missions and stuff like that.
It wasn't the read... I could see that. It wasn't the read I was getting. But honestly, because I think it made me think of when I was a teenager, and I remember one time my dad got mad at me because I said I didn't want to be like him. Oh, and I can understand now why that was offensive. But it's like, But sometimes parents put expectations onto children to be... like, maybe she's pushing him to be a businessman without really thinking too much about it. Or his dad, like, maybe they're trying to push him and something. He's saying, I'm my own person, and I want to do my own thing.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
Because that's how I feel.
Like, he's saying, like, you and Dad, like, wanted to be, like, college educated and go do business and stuff, but he wants to dedicate his life to religion.
I don't know if he's even saying that. I think, and maybe he is saying that he is more religious and they're bad Mormons. I don't know. I just... thought about it through my own filter of,
yeah,
I
just want a different path for myself type of thing.
Maybe they're trying to get him to do things and he wants to be himself.
Gotcha. Oh, then Lisa's like, how are you feeling about everything? And then John starts talking for the first time.
And then, hold on, my team's messaging me.
Immediately. So then we get to Heather. And she's, like, released her book. She has her second beauty lab location. So she bought a new 7-bedroom house.
Right.
But good for her. I'm glad she's making all that money.
She's like, I've raised all of my children, which I don't think they're all grown yet. But I just think it's funny. It's like, you need less space and you've upgraded to like a massive house.
Your kids are literally moving out of the house and you upgraded. But but it's probably the first time it's like her own money that she actually bought it with. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I judge it's not.
Yeah.
but I think it's some that maybe you don't. I don't know. You know what? Let people have the space that they want to have. But I just think like that's a big house to keep up with.
It
if
is.
It's just you. Anyways.
And apparently she doesn't hire people to do the snow.
At least up in Park City.
In Park City, we hire people. Someone cleans my bathtub every single day. I'm over-merited already. Meredith comes over, basically.
In Park City, your vacation rental is cleaned at all times.
Yeah. Because no one lives there. Oh. So then Heather basically is saying that, like, her fallout from writing the book is a lot, and it was to be expected. But it's, like, that on top of she is now, like, painted as friends with a criminal, and she got a black eye on camera.
Oh, when they played that, I said, I do not want to see this again. Please, dude, it's too soon. I do not want to see this footage. They played that clip so many times last year.
Oh, yeah. But I do kind of understand what she's talking about, because she knew putting out a book called Bad Mormon was going to be, like, bad press. But then, on top of all this, she's, like, in the press for being friends with the criminal and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, like, being associated with that. Even though the black guy was dumb, obviously. She's saying it, like, affected her image still, too. Because it was like, did she get in a fight? And stuff like that.
Yeah. Her friendship with Jen was very weird.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad they didn't know it was going to take Mary to get out of her, but I'm glad that they talk about that later in the episode.
Yeah.
But she basically is saying that, like, she saw Whitney for the first time, aka Girls Trip, and she said that it's been, like, more positive than she thought it would go, and then they're gonna throw this party together. Which they didn't show Whitney, like, planning for the party at all. So I didn't know if it, like, they actually meant that her and Whitney were planning it, doing it together. Or when she said we, if she meant her business partner.
Yeah, I wasn't sure about it.
So then she's like, Meredith's like, speak of the devil. Little Miss Whitney getting under my skin recently.
Wait, before we go on to that, did you think it was just this the thing that I think they talked about this more on the, was it Ultimate Girls Trip,
mm-hmm.
which Whitney and Heather were on together. And part of their argument,
which we said we would recap and did not, so apologies.
But part of their fights when they were there were about things being for the show. Like, Heather being unsure, and I can't remember if it was Heather or Whitney, actually, but being unsure of what was for the show and what was not.
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't speak for this period of time in between the season. And then, 4 days before... So, basically, the start of filming, you're sitting down and now trying to patch things together. And that's what I... So, my thought... I was like...
So, it seems fake because they had to do it.
Right. Or that Heather's... Even if she really wanted to, the fact that you're doing it right before the show starts already feels like you're just trying to do this for the show.
Yeah. But I don't know. I kind of think of it as, like, trying to imagine it being, like, if I got into a big fight with someone that I worked with. And we, like, I don't think I would, I don't think I would go out of my way to, like, try to mend the relationship outside of work.
But that's what I'm saying. It's, like, it's not...
So they're work friends.
Right. So it's not going to be what it was because you're only trying to fix it for a certain reason.
Mm.
I remember, I think it was Bethany and... What's her name? Jill in New York. And Jill was on her podcast recently and they hadn't talked in so long. And one of the things that they said was, Jill was talking about how things were hard. Of course, this was in earlier seasons, but mm-hmm. things were kind of hard because people would save things. Or she had, one of the reasons she had a big fight on the shows was because instead of talking about them at an appropriate time, you would hold on to it until filming started again, and then it was very weird, or, like, it didn't go the right way, because then it was just, it was that, like, this is just, you're just doing this for the show, when really it was a real issue, but, like, you waited for cameras, why didn't you call me sooner? You know what I mean? So it's, like, certain things are, I feel like, transcend show, and if you're really friends, then you don't need to wait for cameras to be up to start trying to patch it together.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a hard situation to, because I've never been in that situation.
Yeah. Well, it just seems like before they were friends all the time. Like they hung out in between, you know.
Yeah.
Like they were in each other's lives frequently.
Yeah. On that, I will say on that one Trixie video where Whitney was on there, mm-hmm. this was before Bad Weather broke up. Mm-hmm. She was saying, Whitney was saying, like, Trixie asked, is there anybody on the show that you actually are best friends with and hang out with outside the show? And she said, Heather.
Yeah.
So, you're, yeah, yeah. But now it seems like they don't hang out unless it's, they're on the show together.
Right.
Okay, back to Meredith. She's basically saying, she does her Whitney voice, but Whitney did, like, an interview, and basically, somewhere in the interview, she said that the bath together thing was creepy, and there was, like, bacteria, and to me, a bath is for myself, and, like, taking a bath with other people, there's, like, DNA in there and stuff like that. That's what she was saying.
Mm-hmm.
Which, to me, this just, the whole thing read as, like, one of those cutesy little articles that's on, like, BuzzFeed or something. It's like, what do you think about Meredith being in the bathtub all the time? And Whitney's like, oh my god, that's so creepy. Like, do you know how much DNA is there? Like, that's it.
Taking a bath with somebody else is not for me.
Yeah, but it's like a 2-second thing from like some, like, it's like clearly a staged question too.
Yeah.
It's like not that it was, it's not like she did a whole article and was like, here's why taking a bath together is unsanitary. It's like somebody just asked, was asking her buzzword questions about the season, and that's what she said about it.
My initial read of the situation was very, like, it just seems like a offhanded, like, not a dig at her, at Meredith, but just more of a personal preference type thing, question. Yeah. Although my opinion on that changed. But that was my initial take. I was like, what are you getting upset about?
Well, even Heather was like, am I supposed to be laughing? Like, is she joking or is she not? And then she's not.
Right.
Which is kind of crazy to me. You don't go after my marriage. You don't go after my bathtub. The only thing she hasn't gone after is my children. I just said we're leaving her out there. She's. We've currently moved apartments again. I think we talked about this on the last one a little bit. Now we have an outside. And of course, the dog wakes up every time we start filming. And now she's being crazy.
Yeah.
I can't decide if she wants to go in or out.
Yeah.
So I just think the whole thing is dumb, and I don't like that she brought it up again. Like, it's like clearly something she's trying to make into a thing on the show, Meredith. But
I think it's really funny that it's bathtub is like high on the priority list. Sorry, I just cut you off.
But well, no, no, I think it's just the whole thing is like the absurdity of it all. It's like this show, they don't take them. It's like they do take the things that they care about seriously. But the things they care about is so unserious that it's just so weird.
Yeah. Yeah, why are you bothered? I mean, truly, why are you bothered?
And also, it's just like, you can't take every little thing that they say on any little thing.
Yeah.
Like, so seriously.
Also, that was not the first housewife bathtub scene. It also wasn't, I mean, maybe it read creepy to some people. I didn't think it was creepy. But also, Whitney and
she.
Whitney, what's
Seth said, get your foot off my taint.
Whatever.
That's kind of creepy.
That's not creepy. Oh my god.
It's weird to say on camera. It's
no,
not creepy.
It's not. Who cares? Do you know what married people do to each other? Listen, why would you be. Whitney and her husband did that cringy art scene.
Yeah.
You know, which I'm not. Listen, I say cringy, I'm not judging.
You are.
I just think that was, to me, worse than the bathtub scene. And he got fired from his job for it, basically.
Yeah.
So, like, don't, you know, if anybody's on a horse, yours is taller. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Well, she brought it up later. So.
Yeah, I'm saying, well, why are you bothered? This person who's saying it did something equally, if not more embarrassing.
Yeah.
In a different season.
No, I agree. I don't understand why she's bothered at all.
But, right.
So then we see Meredith shop. Which they've shown before, but they've never shown it this much, I feel like. Like, the outside of it, what the sign looks like, things like that. Mm. What
yes,
do you think about
to,
it?
Come to Park City and buy my jewelry.
Yeah. What do you think about it?
I think it's very small for Meredith
Marks.
It is
very small.
But, you know, she's got her little, she do what she do.
It reminds me of, there's, like, a Portlandia sketch where It's like a store like that, and it's called Two Shirts, and it's because they only sell two shirts. That's what the store reminded me of.
Yeah.
With the little block letter M on the outside.
I just don't know. I don't know how their businesses have, like, changed from before. Like, they don't... Some franchise, like, depending on the timing, like a Tamra, when they opened a gym, you kind of got to see it grow over the show slash... Because whatever, it doesn't matter. But their businesses, while they've been highlighted, they don't really, like, go to... Like, the only one that you've really seen more information is about is Beauty Lab.
Well, I also think Meredith has a storefront, so then she has an online store. So now what her business has become is her selling her merch on her already existing online store.
Oh, okay.
Because if you go on to, like, MeredithMarks.com or whatever, it's, like, the jewelry's there, but then there's also, like, pop sockets, bathrobes, mm-hmm. pajamas, which I got my mom.
Oh, right, yeah.
The thing I didn't like about it was that her logo is just the letter M in, like, a very generic, like, Times New Roman font, and a lot of them just only have that on it. And I'm like, I don't want to buy something that just has this generic letter M on it that looks like it's, like, a monogram that I made for myself because my name starts with the letter M.
Yeah.
So that's why I think I bought the pajamas because it said Meredith Marks on it. Mm. Which is also funny because if no one knew, then they would think that was my mom's name.
Meredith.
Anyway, but I did see someone on Twitter was like, just check MeredithMarks.com. All the merch says, you can leave. It didn't really, but I think...
It should. Listen, that's,
I'm sure it will.
That's one thing, though. These women need to get it together on capitalizing on iconic moments.
Well, they need to hire graphic designers, but...
That, too.
That's a story for another day.
Yeah. But also, but come on!
Okay, but Brooks put out pants that... are structured pants with pockets and stuff on it. Like, actual designed garment.
A garment.
That's not just putting his name onto sweatpants.
Okay.
Supposedly.
Look at that.
I haven't looked at it, but I saw Matt Rogers put it on his Instagram story.
Is he wearing them?
He got sent it.
Oh, really?
He also said he texted... I'm sorry, I'm going on a tangent. If you haven't listened to Lost Culturistas, listen, because they talk a lot about Housewives, and then now they're friends with Andy. So they... He was like... I texted Andy when I saw Jimmy Buffett pass because, like, they were friends. Oh. And I'm like, that's, like, they're very close, though. They're not just... Okay, but they're not just, like... They're not just, like, oh, he was on the podcast once. It's like he texts Andy to be like, how are you doing since your friend passed away? Oh. You know what I mean? And maybe they're fucking... Just kidding. Okay. The main part of this is that Mary is back. And we see her walking up with those iconic little boots that I've never seen anyone else wear in my entire life. While her, like, sayings that she said in the past float around her.
Yeah.
Like,
the little girl.
Hospital smell, little girl. And she basically comes in and she says that she's cut everybody off from the cast except for Meredith. And Meredith is, like, texts her now and then to be like, how are things? She says... How are Robert Sr. and Robert Jr. doing? Mary says that Robert Jr. has a girlfriend, but people are saying it's a wife. And then the producer's like, well, why don't you ask him? And she's like, I haven't had a chance. And she's like, you live together.
Yeah.
And then Robert Sr. has been away for 6 months in Vegas, which Mary says is a good thing. Because she doesn't like him.
Yeah.
And then she asks Meredith how she feels about, like, the whole Jen thing. And Meredith's like, well, she's in prison, so there's not much else to say. She's doing her time. And then Mary's just like, I believe in karma.
Yeah. She said she was the big elephant.
Yeah.
In the room.
And then she's not eating her salad, and she does this whole thing where she's like, it's too spicy. And she's like, ooh, ouch, coming out
the other end. Yeah, the other end, right.
Just, the bitch is back, I guess.
Listen, I didn't like that she skipped the reunion, because I feel like that's not, you know, that's part of the gig. You need to come and speak on yourself, you know, whatever. But I am glad she's back. She is reality TV goal. I hope they just stay away from the religion stuff, because I really...
Yeah. I think they know what they're doing in that we were kind of like, please get her off our TV because she's too crazy and, like, actually maybe a cult leader. And so then now they're like, well, she has good one-liners, so let's just bring her back to be, like, a side plot where we don't actually have to, like, delve too deep into her life.
Right.
But we can have the one-liners.
Because it's
we can,
like,
have the interaction.
It's looking... What is that when you, like, look into a hole and you fall into it?
Alice in Wonderland? Like,
if you... I don't know. Is it? If you get too... If you just stare at it too long, you start to, like, go crazy. Because it's cuckoo.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I don't either. I think I'm just backing up what you're saying. We don't need her too much. She's a potent spice.
And even being there as a side character, she already has, like, stolen the show, so.
Yeah.
Just by her one-liners.
I know.
And the text that she sends to Lisa, which we'll get into without this crazy. She's crazy, but I love her. Lisa.
Do you think I love inbred? Yes.
Yeah, and that, which I don't know when we'll get to that. So then your favorite person shows up to a restaurant wearing all pink and the biggest sunglasses to ever exist.
First note, dumb glasses.
I also like
her. I hate them.
She kept them on, like, fully until Monica got there, and then she's like, oh, sunglasses inside or whatever, and she's like, I guess I can take these off now. It's like she wanted her to see them.
Yes.
I also just... This might be mean. I'm going to say this from a perspective of, like, myself. I have a very wide face, so I would never wear something that made my face look wider. She has a very tall, skinny face, and she's wearing these sunglasses that make her face look two
extra
times
long.
Taller.
Yeah.
I just don't think it works for her face.
Yeah, I just didn't think they worked in general.
Wait, I have to read... We have a group chat about Housewives, and people are talking about them... As they come in, and literally kind of just said, Angie is a tryhard. So, getting our opinions as they come in.
Yeah.
So then this new girl, Monica, shows up. She basically was saying, okay, this is actually insane. I don't know if it's this part that she says it or not. Okay, it's not this part she says it. First of all, she shows up, and she's like, saying she was friends with Jen. Mm-hmm. And so, therefore, she knows who Lisa is because they both knew Jen. So then Lisa comes in, Monica says, nice to meet you. And Lisa's like, we met before. But then in her confessional, she's like, she used to look different with, like, blonde hair and fair skin. Which, I don't know what that's trying to say about someone. That she, like, over-tans now? But she's also Latina.
I think maybe she was saying she just, because... A lot's changed, so she's not as recognizable. Mm-hmm. I don't think she meant anything bad by it.
Well, Monica took it bad because she went on a rant today.
Oh,
on
really?
On social media, yeah.
Oh.
I guess, I didn't write this down, but she also said that she couldn't, like, pick her out of a police lineup, which she took as a microaggression. Basically being why wouldn't you say, like, I couldn't pick her out of a crowd? And she also, like, showed pictures of herself with Lisa from years ago, where she, like, looked the same as she does now.
Okay.
So she took it very personally.
Yeah.
And...
Listen, commenting on...
Racially.
Yeah, skin color is never, not... Especially in Utah, like, we probably should stay away from that.
Yeah. Especially when the whole cast is white, except for her.
Yeah. And Mary. Well, Mary's not a fool.
Yeah. Okay, so then, this is the actual... crazy part. Like, I can't believe that they cast her from this. I mean, I can, but I can't. So Monica says, Jen fired her assistant, and then she asked her to step up. And one night, she says, do you want to be rich? Like, make $600,000 a year? All you have to do is put this, this, and this in your name. So I was weirded out. So I have a friend who's in the Secret Service, and I called him. He said, get the fuck away from Jen Shaw. She's going to prison. And 2 months later, she did. And that is how I became...
2 months later.
Oh, yeah. She was arrested 2 months later. That is how I became a witness in her trial.
Yes.
She literally, like, was one of the people who was a witness to help put a main cast member behind bars. Literally.
I'm here
And
for
then
it.
She took her position on the cast. That's insane. Like... When I heard that, I was like, did I just, like, casting was like, at that trial, was like, she's an ex-housewife.
Yeah.
That's crazy to think about.
Mm-hmm. They said, when she said, do you want to be rich, what she really meant was, you want to take my spot on the show.
Yeah, and she did.
I really like Monica so far. Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't, you know, from the footage, the scenes, it wasn't giving anything super spectacular, but her confessionals, I enjoyed.
Yeah.
She seems like the right little dose. I mean, some of the I wear sweatpants and I'm not like other girls energy was there, but I feel like she has a nice balance of quirky to not.
Yeah. And the right level of glam.
Right.
To take over what I think we are missing with Jen. From Jen. Without Jen. There.
You said her name too many times.
Okay, shut up.
Stricken from the record!
I think she embodies, like, this, like, over, like, almost drag version of herself.
Ooh,
that I missed from Jen.
Yeah.
That's not a bad thing.
I know.
Okay. So back to the table, Lisa orders sushi nachos, whatever that is. That sounds like the most Utah thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, I think the only other place I've seen it is the Midwest.
And then, okay, we need to... Early is running
around. Early!
Then we get Monica, who is saying she's 38 and she's going through a divorce. She found herself in what one might call an entanglement. A.K.A. she cheated on her husband. Then they went through a divorce. Then they got remarried. And now they're getting divorced again. But she and Lisa both have a kid that's graduating right now. So that gives them a chance to kind of like connect on that. We'll see later where they disconnect, I guess.
Also, skipping down the line here, but I liked how she said, I thought it was funny how...
Yes.
I'm forming thoughts as we speak.
That's what podcasting is.
I was going to say that later on she says she had heard a lot about Heather from Jen. Jen never said nice things about people, so she would form her own opinion of Heather. But she did not say the same thing about Lisa. But then I forgot she talked to Lisa on the phone a lot. So she already had a...
True. Well, also, I'm like, is she exaggerating, though? Because she says she talked to Lisa on the phone because Lisa can just talk and talk and talk. And Jen would, like, put her on and be like, keep listening and keep saying, yeah, 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 while I do this. So I don't know if that actually...
I thought Lisa knew she was talking to Monica because she said we've talked on the phone a lot.
Yeah, but then Monica also says, like, well, I talked to her a lot because Jen used to put me on the phone when she wouldn't shut up.
Right.
But I think that can't be that many times. And also, you jumped the gun, so I'm going to jump it further now. She is saying, like, later on, she's like, I have so much dirt on these girls. Like, they have no idea. It's funny seeing them act like they're, like, civilized women when I know so much about them from Jen,
basically. I think she said perfect lives.
But then later, she's saying, like, everything that came out of Jen's mouth was bullshit. So I'm like, which is it?
Right. When she said that, I don't think, she's not... You know who is not a trustworthy source.
Main thing that I thought was really funny about this part was that in her confessional, she's saying, like, Jen will put you on the phone. And I'd be like, yeah, And then they cut to Lisa just talking about the most insane things. Like, how were these things coming up? She's like, you know what I'm into right now? Maritime. And then she'd be like, it was a really funny edit, the way that they did it.
Yeah.
Why were all these things coming up on one dinner date?
And then in the preview thing where Mary says, you have a mute button, and Lisa says, no, I'm on play all the time.
I don't know. Like, obviously I've seen it in the past with Lisa, but she really does fucking seem like she does not stop talking this season. Like, I don't know. Do you feel like she has a different energy this season?
No. I always feel like she's been very verbose. I don't think she talks all the time. Like, they're making it out. But
it just seems a little steamrolling to me. Like, even when Monica
she's always done that.
I guess I just haven't noticed it as much. But when she's, like, meeting Monica, and Monica's being like, I have a kid the same grade, what's her name, blah, 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 whatever. She just, like, kept talking. Like, it was like, I'm not listening to what she's saying at all.
Yeah. She also gave us her hot mic moment was lengthy.
That is true. She was talking to no one.
And she went on for quite a while.
Okay, so then Heather throws the party, which Whitney shows up first with some of her friends. Meredith brings Mary, which they show, like, that knife cutting sound immediately and, like, cut to Whitney. And Whitney's like, is this real or a hologram? And they do this little edit over Mary where it makes her look like a hologram.
Yeah.
Then she says, did Heather roofie me? Which I feel like is kind of a bad joke. I don't know if Heather's going to take that good when it comes out. That was in confessional.
Why would she... Why would Heather be upset by that?
I don't know. It just seems like a bad thing to throw around.
I mean, joking about roofies, I guess, maybe questionable, but...
Yeah.
I don't think they had anything prior that... I don't know. I thought Whitney and Mary together was awkward.
Yeah. They show Whitney hugging her.
Mm-hmm. And then Heather and Angie came in not long after that, and Heather and Angie was awkward.
Yeah. But the point of it is squashing beef. Then Lisa comes in with Monica and Angie, yeah. Heather recalls when Angie said all those things about her, like, and Jen, like, scissor kicking or whatever, like, implying that they fucked each other, I guess.
Right.
Then Monica said that Jen never said anything nice about Heather, which is the part you were saying. Also, if you hear that little click-clacky in the background, it's just her dog prancing around the floor because she won't stop. And then, this is the part she says, like, Heather, Jen never said anything nice about Heather at all, but she never said anything nice about anybody and everything she said was bullshit. Then Lisa and Mary hug, and this is when Lisa reads out loud the last text that Mary sent to her.
Oh, yeah.
And this is in a confessional.
Unhinged.
She says so many things, but these are the ones that stood out to me. She's an idiot. She's the biggest liar in Utah. Her nasty tequila is going to kill people. You're a witch.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to Mary, and she's like, I think it's good to see Lisa.
Yeah.
Like, I think me and Lisa are good. I was like, oh my God. She's just so, like, in her own world. It's funny. And also, I don't know if you remember, but she literally said that same thing to Whitney, like, in a text message, too.
Yeah. Mary just says what comes to mind. I think, you know, some people are just like that. They purge. Like, they don't sit on things. They just say what they're thinking, and it comes out, and they move on.
Yeah.
Because they're not sitting in it. They're not processing it. And then, you know, they're able to move on and other people aren't.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So then Heather makes this announcement and is basically like, Whitney and I wanted to, like, we got together. We want to come to a fresh start. So let's take this as a chance for a new start. Mary then asks how Heather's doing without Jen. And this is when she really says, like, it feels like a weight has been lifted. Like, I think... To me, this read as two things. One, the weight that was lifted was she's not Jen's henchman anymore. Like, she kind of could escape that because this person who had this thumb on her was taken away. Mm-hmm. Taken out of the equation. But also, she basically was saying, like, she felt like she couldn't say the things she needed to say to Jen in the last year about their friendship and about how she treats her because Jen was going through things that were, like, so much bigger than that, that it would feel, like, inconsiderate to do.
Right.
Which I didn't even think about it that way last year.
Oh, they talked about it all the time.
I didn't think about how Heather, like, the whole time I just wanted Heather to be like, how is she still, like, I want her to tell Jen off so bad. But then I didn't even think about the part that she was just like, I can't do it right now. It's not the right time.
She's, like, weeping about not going to be able to see her kids graduate and all that stuff.
And you're just going to do that.
But I had a couple thoughts. I mean, I'm glad she said that. Part of me is like, is this rewriting history a little bit? I still think her relationship with Jen was very weird. I don't think she should have let Jen's... Oh, I said her name. Oh my God. I don't think she should have let her personal issues get in the... I don't know. I understand why she didn't do it, but at the same time, I don't think you should let anybody treat you poorly like that ever. I mean, I can understand extending a little grace, saying, I understand why you snapped at me because you're going through a lot. That's different from, like,
I understand why you gave me a black eye.
You treat me very badly. You know, that's not acceptable. And you know, even if you don't say it, distance yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever. I'm glad she's saying that she's done with her, and I also feel like she's assuming a little bit of a role that I feel that is very necessary in a successful Housewives franchise, which you always need the one
anchor
character, yes, who can try to pull people together. It's most effective when that person is a strong, like a very strong personality on the show that has a lot of authority. But so I don't know if Heather quite matches that, because I don't know if I would say she's a front runner of the show fully. But it is good that somebody is trying, because you really need that person to that, like, pulls always reminds everybody, gives them a reason, an excuse to knit back together, because that's what makes great housewife television. Mm-hmm. Or part of it, anyways.
Plus, I do think that production is setting her up for that, because mm-hmm. we opened with her this season, we opened with her last season. She's been, like, obviously last season she had her downfalls, but I do think she was the main character last season, at the end of the day. And at the end of the day, what we cared about was how she felt about the Jen situation, not so much about anybody else, how they felt about it. So I think she is taking the role, or production's forcing it onto her, whatever it is.
But somebody's got to do it.
Yeah. So then Meredith pulls Lisa aside, and she's basically like, I want to set us up for success this season, not failure. So, like, at some point, let's just talk, just the two of us. And Lisa's basically like, sure. Then they hug. And Lisa says, Lisa walks over to the fire and she's like, if there's one thing I can't stand, it's burnt things. And there's this marshmallow that's just like solid black. And Heather starts screaming like, get away! And then she asked, who here has read the book? Or someone asked, who's read the book? About Heather's book. And no one raises their hand at all. Not even Whitney. Which I would be upset about.
Well, Whitney's said that that topic is a kind of a trigger for her.
True.
So I'm not surprised. And she also, Heather took it really well. And also turned around and said they're not really readers.
Yeah.
But they don't give that energy. So I think it's fine.
Yeah. But then Angie goes on this whole thing where she's like, I want Lisa to sign my copy. And Heather's like, fine, Lisa can sign her copy. I don't care. That's why she wasn't in the book and never will be.
Yeah.
Something like that. Like, kind of trying to imply, like, she wants to be a main character so bad, but she's not going to ever
be. Pick me. Is it pick me energy? Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Try hard, as Kaina said.
No.
So then Heather and Whitney are, like, joking behind the bar about, like, doing drugs and Special K and blah, blah, blah. And then Meredith's like, oh, it's funny now, huh? Not when you brought up me doing ketamine at the reunion. And then she's like, oh,
which,
and by the way.
Who cares? Who cares?
She's
who
like, cares? Oh, by the way, I know you were the one that started that rumor.
Yeah.
And she's like, actually, it was Lisa, but.
I hope she does, Ken. Girl, live your life. Go to the club and do some Molly, girl. Get your gig off. I mean, whatever. I mean, well, okay. I mean, I know people have their own opinions about things, but still. I'm not talking about drugs. Who cares?
I do think it is a little hypocritical when she was trying to be like, you're a pill popper last season. And then now she's joking about doing drugs.
Who was a pill popper? Who said that?
Whitney said that about
Meredith.
Oh.
Okay, true.
So then Meredith's like,
wait, but they also said Buzz and Cousins. And I love that. I wrote down that.
Oh, Buzz and Cousins?
Yeah, Buzz and Cousins.
That is fun. They do seem to be getting more along this season, I would say.
Yeah.
Even last season, they didn't even try to joke like that.
Yeah.
Then Meredith says, and now back to this bitch that had a lot to say about me the other day in the press. Whitney, what's good?
Yeah, I wrote that down. I said, Miley, what's good?
And then I just love how this part, Heather's like, oh fuck, they're gonna get into it again. And then she just like walks away. She goes, fresh start, fresh powder. Yeah. It's just
slowly. Fresh start, fresh powder. I wrote vacation. Oh, I really enjoyed in this part where Whitney in her confessional threw some vacation rental shade, obviously talking about Meredith moves all the time because really she doesn't live in Park City.
Mm-hmm.
She just rents for the season and then she lives in New York.
Well, so they start fighting about the bathtub thing again. I thought this was so funny how she's just like, my bathtub is clean. My housekeeper cleans my bathtub every day. And then Whitney's like, well, my bathtub is also clean.
Did you talk about her hot tub?
She talked... Oh, yeah, that was earlier. I don't think I mentioned it, really.
But didn't she mention the hot tub at this part? Like, didn't she
no, she mentioned it with Heather, and she said, like, how can my bathtub... My bathtub's clean because my housekeeper cleans it every day. What about her hot tub that has 75 different people in it every day? Something like that.
Right.
Which, sure. It's a read, but whatever.
I kind of like this drama, this fake drama, because it's a little unhinged.
It's so unhinged, but it's funny.
But I hope it just doesn't go on for too long.
I prefer to take my baths alone. Well, I prefer to take my baths with two people in it.
This is really... I hope this continues, but not as the main drama. Like, not as the main thread, but I hope it just pops up. It little bubbles up every now and again. A little bathtub
comment. Well, it's going to, because Meredith said it's not over, basically.
No.
Which I hate that she does this every season. She basically is like, until you prove to me that X, Y, Z, then I can learn to trust you again. And it's like, that's so vague that it's never going to happen. And then you end the season with the same drama you started the season with because you can't get over anything. Which is the same thing Whitney was saying. She's like, you hold a grudge. And she's like, I don't hold a grudge. And literally the only thing she's ever done is hold a grudge.
Yeah.
That's the only thing she ever does in any season she's on.
I really feel like Whitney didn't help herself, though, in this conversation, because, like I said, when I first heard the story, I was like, well, this could be very, she's just taking it as a, what do you call it? Or it was a question the person asked, and she just gave her own perspective on, like, I wouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, it's not really too big of a dick. But then she was like, immediately was like, it was just a joke. And I was like, oh, so you did it purpose. So you purposefully talked about it.
Well, no, I thought it was, like, she meant it, like, the person asked a question, and I was, like, just spewing a little joke afterward. Be like, how much bacteria is in a bathtub anyway?
Well, but basically she was saying it was a joke, and she knew that Meredith wouldn't.
I'm gonna do my like Seinfeld impression. Seriously! How much bacteria is in a bathtub anyway?
Stupid.
Should I cut that out?
I don't know.
No, I'm gonna leave it.
But yeah, I just really feel like she didn't. I don't think it should be a big deal, but I also don't think Whitney helped it die. Just kind of kept it going.
Well, Whitney kept being like, what can I say to you right now that, like, this is a day about squashing things? What can I say to you right now to make sure that, like, we can trust each other to just let it go? And, like, it didn't mean anything. Move on from it. And Meredith's like, I need time to digest. AKA, she's not gonna let it go. I hope she does. At least in the beginning, the whole, like, one person versus the other person, it wasn't them two versus each other. So that makes me think the rest of the season's not going to be them two.
Yeah.
Like, the Bible verse part or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, so then Heather says, everybody go outside. Mary says she's not doing that. Heather says...
Oh, wait.
What?
You missed the...
What?
I loved... Okay, there was two quotes, though. It says, I don't hold grudges, Whitney. I don't. The way she said that was too... Yeah.
I don't.
And then she said, save your brain cells. Save your brain cells.
Well, because she's like, I'm not going to waste brain cells on this. She's like, save them.
Yeah, Whitney, save your brain cells.
Like, you need them.
Okay, anyways.
Basically, they're going to do a snowball fight. And Heather says, this is your last chance to take out any anger and any resentment and leave it all on the field. So then they show the snowball fight, and it is so funny.
Yeah.
Like, because obviously it's not anything, but just the editing was so, like, one snowball being thrown at one person, clearly from the person they're going to feud with this season, and then the slow motion scream.
The whales.
Like, ah!
I really loved, first, when they went out there, I said, I know Mary Cosby is not going to do this, and immediately she said, I'm not doing that.
And I'm just like, what are they doing?
Are they actually having fun? I enjoyed this part because they all, you could tell, like, were very kind of nervous about it. And you know, adults just don't have enough fun. They don't laugh enough. They don't have enough fun about with things. And nobody wants to get hurt doing something.
Yeah.
But I'm glad it devolved into, like, actually people just letting go and enjoying it.
Yeah.
Rolling around in the snow together.
And I thought it's the funniest way to end an episode with Heather being like, it turned into Lord of the Flies out there, which they probably haven't read that either. Which is one of the things you, like, have to read in high school.
Yeah. Well, but did you actually read it?
I did. I watched the movie, at least.
That doesn't count.
No, I read it. Okay, that's the end of the episode. And then we see the next time on, which is the this season on, which we've already reacted to. So we're not going to get into that.
Yeah.
But I will say the drama looks really good for the rest of the season.
Yeah. The only thing I read about it was I I forgot the callback for Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Whenever Lisa and Kim are fighting, and you want to talk about the husbands, oh, we'll talk about the husbands. Or something like that.
Yeah.
And then Meredith says that to Lisa, you want to go there with the husband?
Yeah.
That's all.
And it seems like...
anticlimactic.
Lisa doesn't say any words. Like, she's like, no, I don't.
Yeah.
But also, I don't think they're going to talk too much about that this season. And I said this in the last... In the reaction to the season on. So, go back and listen to the last episode if you want to hear our main thoughts on it. But I do think for that part, my prediction is... She's not actually talking about Lisa's husband. She's talking about Angie's husband. Or someone else's husband. I think when she says that to Lisa, she's being like, well, you don't want to talk about the husband. Being like, she doesn't want to.
Yeah. Okay.
That's my prediction for that. Overall, I think this was a great...
It was solid.
Opening episode. I recently watched... For my YouTube channel, I'm doing this thing where I react to reality shows I've never seen before, to, like, first episodes from different seasons, things like that. And I recently watched Summer House, and that first episode was hard to get through.
No.
This was a great first episode, I think,
yeah.
For a season. I didn't watch the pilot. I watched season 3, episode 1, or something like that. But watching those being the last two season episode ones that I've watched, this was a really good one, juxtaposed from a bad one, in my opinion. I think I'm excited to see... I'm glad they're actually going out of the country.
Oh, they can do that now.
I think Monica's really going to bring it.
Yeah, I'm excited for her, because I think she will too.
I think she's like a fresh... I don't know, energy that Angie K didn't bring. Angie K brought a similar energy to other ones, even a little more boring than other ones. I think this is a good, fresh housewife to be joining.
Yes.
And I like her confessionals a lot too. Her looks. I think her and Whitney looked the best in the confessionals to me. Whitney always looks good in the confessionals.
Mm-hmm.
Did you think there were any like fashion misses or anything like that you saw?
No, not from the show, except for I hate seeing those boots on Lisa Barlow every single time. Well, I don't know what was happening with that.
I was going to read her wig in the confessional.
I don't even remember that.
It might not have been a wig, but if it wasn't, I don't know what it was then.
Yeah. And I saw Meredith's, some of her extensions in one scene. I was like, oh. Not that that's, I mean, it's not a big deal, but usually you don't, so.
Well, I'm excited for the rest of the episodes to come. Like I said, I'm hoping we're going to get a lot of episodes based on how much it costs on Amazon or inflation. You never know.
Got to find Jeff Bezos needs more billions.
But, we're hoping to put new episodes out every Wednesday, I believe, is what we're going to go for. And I'm excited for the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Tyler.
I'm a Travis.
And this has been Privileged Twinks. Please subscribe, review. If you're listening on Spotify, I put up polls every week. Interact with those. You can find us on social media. My handles are TylieTalk, and Travis doesn't post at all. So look for us there, comment there, and we will be back every week for the new season.
Woohoo! Thank you so much. Goodbye.
Bye.